week, but I think I had a first tonight. I think it's the first time I've had a second cousin lead singing for me before I preached. It's good to be with you. The bills and works and takes care of things while I'm away, and she's just a blessing to me, and I would not be able to do what I do without her help. And so I try to remind brethren of that, and I appreciate more than I can say what she does behind the scenes. We do need one another. If this church is going to be what it should be, we need one another. We need to appreciate one another. We need to honor one another. Tonight I'm going to start by reading four passages to you, and I want to ask you the question, what do these four passages have in common? John 15:17 says, "These things I command you, that ye may love one another." Romans 12, verse 10, "In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another, in honor, preferring one another." Romans 16:16, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Hebrews 10:24-25, "Let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh." What do those four verses have in common? Well, it's probably pretty obvious to you as you read those verses and as you look at the title of the lesson before you, they are all what we would call one another passages. There are a number of one another passages in the New Testament. If I have counted correctly, there are about 46 one another passages in the New Testament. And that's what we would call the positive one another passages, not the negative one another passages. There are some negative ones, like not envying one another or not biting and devouring one another. So not counting the negative ones, there are 46 positive ones. Now some of them are repeated more than one time. For example, there are 13 different passages that say for us to love one another. And so once again, it's my estimation, my count, that there are 25 different one another admonitions in the New Testament. And so what should that tell us? What should that tell us? Well, that tells us that we have a relationship with one another. There are responsibilities that we have one to another. There are obligations that we have one to another. We are told to admonish one another. We are told to bear one another's burdens. We're to care for one another and comfort one another and confess our faults one to another. We're to consider one another, to provoke to love and good works, and edify one another, and exhort one another, and to follow that which is good with one another. We're to be hospitable, and to be kind, and to love, and to be members one of another. We're to forgive one another. We're to prefer one another. We're to receive one another. We're to salute one another. We're to be the same mind one to another. We're to serve one another. We're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are to subject ourselves to one another. We are to wait on one another. We are to wash one another's feet. And that's not all of them. But it reminds us, as we just list them and that we just think about them, the importance of this relationship that we have together, one with another. We are members one of another. And that's the one I'm going to emphasize this evening. 25 of them. And I chose, we are members one of another to talk about tonight. Why would I do that? I don't know. I'll leave you guessing. No. Because I think that we need to remember. All of these are wonderful lessons. I've done a series of lessons at home on the one another passages. They're all important. They're all critical. They're all important for us to understand and to see how they work together, to draw us together, to make us to be the kind of healthy congregation that the Lord wants us to be. But maybe it begins with this fundamental idea that we are members one of another. That we are connected one to another in the body of Christ. We are united one to another. In Ephesians 4, verse 25, Paul writes, "Wherefore, put away falsehood, speak ye truth one to another, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Romans 12, verse 5, "So we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, "For the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." We are members one of another. Sometimes when we think of membership in this world, we don't think necessarily of a relationship with each other or unity together. Oftentimes when we think of membership in our day and time, in the 21st century, we think of the privileges or the benefits that some group or some organization may offer me. American Express, a number of years ago, I think it was back in the 80s. I know it is because I Googled it. Back in the 80s, they had a commercial that said, "Membership has its privileges." Remember that? The younger people may not remember. Membership has its privileges. And what was the purpose of the commercial? It was to stress and to say, if you're a member of American Express, you have privileges. You have benefits that others do not have. You have this special card that allows you something very special. Or we're familiar with being a member of AAA. I'm thankful for my AAA membership. I've been a member of AAA for 40 years, I think. It started when I was living in Minnesota, and it bailed me out a number of cold times when I needed to start. And more recently, as my memory gets bad, I am prone to be listening to the radio and to get to the church building and leave the keys in the ignition because I'm listening to the radio. And then I get done listening to whatever I'm listening to and get out and lock the car and walk away and the keys are still in the ignition. It's happened twice in the last year and a half. And I call AAA and they come out and they get me in my car, and just as luck would have it, the same young man came both times. And he said, "This is kind of like deja vu. Didn't we do this recently?" Or something like that. And I said, "Yeah, I'm getting old. Yeah. I'm thankful for my membership to AAA. You may be a member of a gym, or you may be a member of a health club, because of the benefits that it brings to you." Now, what I'm saying with this illustration is, oftentimes when we think of membership, we're not thinking of togetherness with other people. We're thinking of the membership benefits of being associated with AAA. I don't know a single other person that is a member of AAA that I know of. And that's not why I joined AAA, is to have a relationship with other people. I joined just because of the benefits of being, quote, a member. But the body of Christ is different. Now, there are benefits to being members of the body of Christ. And I'm not making light of that, those benefits of being in Christ. Oh, that's a wonderful sermon all by itself. The benefits of being in Christ. The privilege of prayer, the forgiveness of sins, the other spiritual blessings that come from being in Christ. Oh yes, there's benefits from being in Christ. But what I'm trying to say is, it's more than just the benefits. It draws us into a relationship with one another and with Christ. And because of that, we have a responsibility with one another. And we have blessings of being one with another. And so we need to think of our membership as being more, this idea of membership. We are fellow members of the same body. And there's probably no better illustration of this than the physical body and the illustration that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to focus on this passage this evening. So open up your Bibles. I have not put these verses on the screen in front of you. We're going to read several verses together, beginning at verse 12, and think about this relationship that we have in Christ. Beginning at verse 12, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it not therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it not therefore not of the body? If the whole body were the eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Whereas our comely parts have no need, but God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to the part that which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and severally members thereof." And so the physical body is a wonderful illustration of how the multiple parts work together to accomplish a specific purpose. We don't think about it, but we do it all the time, whether we're talking about working in the kitchen or working in the tool shop or working in the garage or just walking around the house or whatever we're doing, the whole body is working together. The members do not fight one another. If someone is in the kitchen cooking, the eyes read the cookbook. And the legs and the feet carry the cook around the kitchen, gathering the ingredients. And the hands and the arms and the fingers hold the spoon, or they plug in the electric bowl and they work the things that need to be worked to stir up the batter. And the mouth tastes the batter to make sure that it is perfect. And the nose smells it when it's been put into the oven a few minutes later. The nose smells it and the voice then says, "I think it's almost done." And the fingers take and put those little toothpicks in it to see if it's done or not. I used to see my mommy doing that. The whole body is working together. We don't think about that. We don't think about all the different parts. We just think of us as one. Because we are one. But Paul is using the illustration to try to get us to see that in the spiritual body of Christ, there are many members. And the eye is not the same as the ear, and the hand is not the same as the foot, but in the physical body, we're all working together, and in the spiritual body, we should all be working together, and the body is one. And if the body is united and functioning together, oh, how much good can be done. And so we are one. We are united under one head. The body is listening to the one head, and our head is Jesus Christ. And there's a great lesson there, of course, about authority, that we're following the one head. And when my pointy finger moves, it's because the head is telling it to move. And when my left leg and right leg work together to walk, it's because the head is guiding them. And when my eyes focus and look and see, which is getting harder to do these days, but when my eyes do that, it's because the head is directing and guiding. All working together to accomplish what needs to be accomplished by the body. But Christ is our head, and we listen to the leadership of the head. And if we will each listen to the leadership of the head, and each do what each one can do, maybe different than one other, but each can do what they can do, then the body can work together in unity to accomplish the purposes that Jesus wants to accomplish. There must be unity if we're going to accomplish what Jesus desires the body to accomplish. Livy, a Roman historian, way back in 500 B.C., I got this from Mike Willis's commentary on 1 Corinthians, and he quoted from an expositor named Moffat, that the members of the body were complaining because they said all the belly did was sit there and receive the food. Here's the belly there saying, it's just getting all this good food to eat. It's not fair. The belly just sits there and receives food. And so they called a strike against the belly, and within a few days they realized they were starving to death. You can't call a strike on one member of the body. We can't excommunicate one member of the body. We're all to be working together. We are a unit. And there shouldn't be jealousy toward the belly. Little did they know how much the belly did to keep the body functioning and working together. And so the body is one. And so for the spiritual body to be healthy and to thrive, and to grow. I love the illustration of the body for this reason. We think about being a healthy body. Paul, several times in his epistles to Timothy and Titus, talk about healthy doctrine. Sound doctrine. That word sound doctrine really literally means healthy. Healthy doctrine. We need good, healthy food. We need healthy food for the spiritual body to make the body to be healthy and to grow. It's based upon the knowledge of God's Word. It's based upon the truth that Jesus gave to us. But we need to have a healthy body and a thriving body and a growing body to accomplish what God wants our body to accomplish. The purposes that He has for His people today. And so there are many members and yet one body. And so there's one body, verse 12 says there in 1 Corinthians 12, and yet has many members. There's two or three lessons that we want to pick out here as we think about these verses. The first one is that each member is important. In verses about 14 through 19, the apostle here is making the point that each member is important. Each member is valuable. And he says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it not therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it not therefore not of the body? It seems that some members, and he's again, as we said this morning, applying this because of the problems I think that existed at Corinth over spiritual gifts, and some feeling like that they were less important than others, and others being arrogant, thinking they were more important than some others. And so he addresses this from both angles. In these first verses here, in verses 14 and 15, he says, don't think of yourself as being unimportant. He says, if the foot says, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it not therefore not of the body? If the foot says, I'm not important, that didn't make it so. It is important. And if the hands will say, I'm not of this body, no, how wrong, oh, you are. You are a part of the body. And so every part has its function. Everyone is unique. Everyone is valuable. Everyone is important. Everyone needs to see their value. We said before that sometimes those that are more in the public, it may appear that they're more important in the eyes of some people. But every member of the body is important. If this body is going to be healthy, if this body is going to continue to grow, there needs to be no schism in the body, no jealousy in the body, but each one finding what they can do. Yes, there are elders and there are deacons and there are preachers who may take a more public role. And there are Bible class teachers. But there's also those who control the sound and the audio and the video. There's those who prepare the Lord's Supper. There are those who send cards. We have some ladies at home, and you probably do something similar here. When we have visitors, they send them a card. If someone is sick, they send them a card. And they gather around the table each Sunday evening, mailing out cards and bulletins to some of the members who miss. And I cannot tell you the number of people who have said to me, I appreciate those cards so much. With a young man who visited with us, and later he became a Christian. And one of the things he kept saying to me was, he was from a dysfunctional family, and he got those cards from the ladies, and he put them up on his dresser, and he said, those meant so much to me that somebody cared. We do not have any idea who we're touching and what impact we might make by little things. Sending cards, cleaning the building, mowing the lawn, someone filling up the track rack, someone working on the website, someone developing a Facebook page, encouraging one another, exhorting one another, making telephone calls, sending emails, text messages, caring for the sick, seeing to the lonely. Young people, find someone to go visit. You have no idea how that brightens a day. My mother, when she was in her older age, she said, Wilson, one of the hardest things is just lonely. After your dad passed, it's just lonely. And people were really good for the first few months after your dad passed, but after that, they kind of forget. And you sit at home every night, and it's just lonely. And somebody would come to visit her. One of the young people at church would come visit her. And one day, she was all excited. She said, look what Brittany brought me. One of the little girls at church. Look what Brittany brought me. She was so excited. Some little thing. Find someone who's lonely. You have no idea how much you can brighten a day. Care for the fatherless. Care for the widows. Encourage someone. Exhort someone. Even rebuke someone. Someone who's been missing too much services. What's going on? I love you. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Support one another. We are many members, but we are one body. And don't think you're not important. Don't think you don't have a part to play. In verse 18, the Scripture says, Paul says, now hath God set the members, each one of them in the body, as it pleased Him. The Corinthians needed to realize that it didn't matter if you're the one speaking in tongues, or if you're interpreting, or you have some other gift, or you have no gift at all as far as special spiritual gifts were concerned. You're a member of the body and you have a part to play. And God set each one. We need toes. And if you don't believe that, you just lose one. And we need hands. And we need fingernails. And we need hair. Well, I'm sorry, some of you don't have any hair. I just had to throw that in. We need each other. We each can have a part to play. And as each plays their part, they need to remember that God set each member, God placed the needs, and He placed people in those needs, and you need to be looking just to do what you can do, no matter how small it seems. Let each one find his place and find his role. Each one is to be honored. Verses 20 through 23, it says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. The eye shouldn't be arrogant. Eyes are beautiful. I love eyes. I love my wife's eyes. Eyes are beautiful. Now, they're a lot prettier than ears are. When we were dating, I didn't sit around and look into her ears. I looked into her eyes. The eyes are a lot prettier than the ears are. But ears are necessary. And I'm glad I have ears. And they're different than eyes. But the eyes shouldn't be arrogant. The eyes shouldn't say, look how beautiful I am. Wilson always looks into my eyes. He never looks into you, the ears. I'm better than you are. No, you're not. We're all just different members. Different functions. Different purposes for the good of the body. And those who in some way have a more public role should not look down upon. The eye should not say to the hand, I have no need of you. Each one should honor the other. Each one should, and we need to do a better job of doing that. Again, too often those that are in the public light, whether the song leaders or the preachers, oftentimes get a lot of pats on the back. But when's the last time you put your arm around the custodian and said, you know, the place really looks good. And it really makes a difference. When we have visitors, it looks nice, and that makes a difference. That's important. Or the one who changes the light bulbs, you know, it's really light and nice in here. I can always read my Bible. And you may think I'm exaggerating, but my point is, all need to be honored. All need to understand how much they are appreciated for whatever job that they are doing. And each one is to be honored, no matter what we are doing within the body. And each one needs to be cared for. None need to be overlooked. All need to be honored. In 25 and 26, all need to be cared for, he says, so that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. You care for everyone, whether they're your best friend or not. You look to their needs. It's just natural for us to have some people we like better than others. Personalities are just that way. I enjoy people who enjoy football and baseball because I enjoy football and baseball. I don't fish and I don't hunt. But guys who fish and hunt tend to fall in together, and guys who enjoy golf and baseball tend to fall in together. But my point is that that's somewhat natural and that's okay. But my point is that we need to be caring for one another, all of us. And concerned about one another, and loving one another, and helping one another, no matter what our particular likes and dislikes are. Each to be cared for. Have the same care for one another. Love demands that we treat all members equally. No respecter of persons is shown. All are to be cared for. All are to be honored. All are to be loved. And when we get to that point, that as we grow, and I know nothing about this group tonight, please don't infer by anything I say this week that I think you're lacking in anything I'm talking about. I'm just with a shotgun here presenting things that I think generally need to be heard among God's people. But let us have that same care, honor, and love for all. We need to be members one of another. Members should have the same care. I must see myself as being connected to each and every member of the body. What I want you to take home tonight as you think about this lesson is, in the physical body, it's obvious to see that I'm connected. The hand is connected to the rest of the body. And when the hand is hurt or the finger is cut or you hit your thumb with a hammer, the whole body suffers with it and feels it. And we all understand how connected the physical body is together. But I want you to look around this evening, or I want you to go home and this week think about the spiritual body here in this place and what you can do to make a more connected spiritual body, to feel apart one of another, to get to know one another, to meet one another's needs, to reach out to one another, to feel that you are members of the body. And to understand it doesn't matter what role you can play, play a role. And work together. And love one another. And consider one another. And serve one another. And edify one another. And exhort one another. And admonish one another. And wash one another's feet. In John chapter 13, get out your songbooks. If you use a songbook, I forget, y'all don't use songbooks. I can't use that phrase anymore. In John chapter 13, Jesus took off his outer garment, and he wrapped himself with a towel, and he got down and washed the disciples' feet. And you know the story. And then Jesus says, if I, the Master and Lord, wash your feet, you wash one another's feet. As I have done to you, you do to one another. And he was teaching a powerful lesson, wasn't he? Because of the fact that that was a lowly job. Washing feet was the job of the slave. It was the job of the servant. And they traveled on dusty roads, and it was common for them to come in and provide a bowl to wash their feet. And if you had servants, the servants did the foot washing. But it was the job of a slave. But Jesus got down on his hands and knees, we might say, and he acted the part of a slave. And he washed their feet. And if Jesus, our Lord, can humble himself to wash the feet of the disciples, should not we do the same? Should not we submit to one another and love one another enough to encourage each other, to help each other, to feel like we are members together of this body, truly serving one another for the good of the cause of Christ, not for self, but for the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, a child of God, we hope that you'll become a member of the body. You become a member of the body of Christ by obeying the Lord. The Lord adds you to His body, the church, when you obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come believing in Him, repenting of your sins. We haven't talked about the primary obedience of the gospel this evening, but maybe you've heard lessons that Bruce has preached or others have taught to you. And you understand tonight that you need to be a member of the body of Christ, because within the body of Christ are those great benefits that we just mentioned in passing. The forgiveness of sins and the hope of life eternal. What a great hope that we have. obey Him tonight, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and then join with this body as being a member of this body, the great body of Christ at large, yes, but a member of this local body to serve one another and to help each other go to heaven. Can we assist you tonight while together we stand and while we sing?